I just want to point out, Jesus is preparing his disciples for what's about to happen. And as he prepares them, he gives them three lessons that I think we need to be reminded of, we need to hear this morning. Here is lesson number one. Jesus alone could be our shepherd. Jesus alone, Ethan, could you put it up on the screen for me? Jesus alone could be our shepherd, is our shepherd. See, just look how verse 27 starts. You will all fall away. His closest friends, the people who he has done ministry with for 3 years, he's walked the streets with, he's walked down the roads with, he's lived with, he's shared his life with, his closest companions, even the men he's actually going to use to spread the good news of Jesus to the ends of the earth, they will all fall away. When the moment of salvation comes, when the moment of the cross comes, there is no one standing with Jesus. Do you see that? You will all stumble. When the pressure comes on, who's standing alone? It is Jesus. Now this comes after the devastating kind of meal they've just had, where Jesus says to them, one of you's going to betray me. One of you's going to hand me over to be killed. And this is even true, isn't it, for Peter? Look at verse 30. Truly I tell you, Jesus answered, today, yes, tonight, before the cock crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times. Now as you ponder, we pause to think about this story we've just had read to us. I don't know if you've ever reflected on why Jesus had to be alone. Have you ever thought about that? Why is it that all the disciples fell away? Why is it something that only Jesus could do? And the truth is that Jesus faced the cross alone because Jesus alone could be our Saviour. Jesus alone could be our Saviour. He alone, acting alone, is the one who could bring about salvation for men and women and restore us to God. As Jesus was hours away from the cross, this is something that the disciples needed to know. You see, he gathers them around him. This is it. He's hours away from the cross. Of all the things he could have said, what does he say to them? He says, do you know what, guys? You're not the gospel. I am. You're not the answer to this world's problems. I am. Now, why do they need reminding of that? Well, because actually, their inbuilt tendency, and actually the inbuilt tendency of us all, is to think that we are the answer to the world's problems. When I was growing up, there was this song, which I think is an old song, and so none of the kids will know it, but it says this, in case you've got to search for the hero. I'm not going to sing it. You've got to search for the hero inside yourself. You've got to look for the secrets within. And it's kind of this picture that actually, where's the answer to the world's problems? Where are they? It's in here. You've got to search for the hero. You're the hero. You're the one who can sort everything out. Now maybe we laugh at the song, but it's the way we do life. It's what's drummed into our kids at school. You know, you're inherently good. You just got to bring it out. There's something inside you that means you can solve all the problems that you've got. We have a tendency to think that I am the answer. And actually, in this little story, we see that in Peter, don't we? See, look at verse 29. Peter declared, even if all fall away, Jesus, I will not. Now we might go, oh, cocky Peter. You know, here's the arrogant one. But actually, his heart is our heart. You know, Peter, maybe he's like, you know, Jesus, I had my suspicions about the others. You know, those boys, I know those boys, they're not very reliable. But not, you know, you got it wrong, Jesus, not me. You and me, Jesus. You and me, we're going to sort all this out, Jesus. We're going to become the saviour of the world. Jesus, I'm going to stand with you. And actually, he thinks he's strong enough, doesn't he? Look at verse 29. I won't fall away. Peter thinks to himself, I've got to search for the hero inside. If everyone else is going to fall away, search for the hero. He's probably singing it to himself. He's there. Yeah, I get it about the others. Jesus, I get it about James and John and, you know, especially that Judas guy, I get it, but not me. But actually, Jesus says to him, verse 30, truly I tell you, today, yes, tonight, before the cock crows twice, you will disown me three times. Actually, not even Peter is strong enough. You know, it's interesting, isn't it, that the Gospel of Mark, if you know Mark's Gospel, it starts with, this is the beginning of the good news about Jesus. It doesn't say this is the good news about Jesus and Peter. It doesn't start with this is the good news about Jesus and you. It starts with the good news of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus alone, acting alone, is the only one who can bring about salvation through the forgiveness of our sins, which really is the whole kind of thrust of Mark's gospel. That's where it's all heading. Jesus alone acts as Saviour. Jesus had to suffer alone. Jesus had to die alone because he alone is the gospel. Not Jesus plus Peter, not Jesus plus you, not Jesus plus some system. He is the gospel. Jesus is the gospel. And you know what? That's something that I personally need to be reminded about this Good Friday. Some of you might be sitting there thinking, I knew that anyway. I didn't need to come to church to be reminded that Jesus is the gospel. But actually, do you know what? So often we live like we are the gospel. We search for that hero inside ourselves. You know, when we grow perhaps the first time in our awareness that things aren't right before God, that my life hasn't been what God wanted it to be, that I have not lived with God as my creator, what do? We search for the hero inside ourselves and we start to try and put it right. We start to do a Peter. You know, I'll stand here. I've got strength. I'm strong enough. I am not the answer to my problems, and neither am I the answer to the world's problems. Jesus is. In fact, I am just a weak, unreliable sheep. Sheep are inherently stupid. Sheep inherently wander off. And sheep are not the gospel. The shepherd is. And Jesus alone, see, he calls himself, that's the image he's drawing on in verse 27. I will strike the shepherd. He's drawing on this imagery to say he's the shepherd. He alone is the one who can stand and help and deliver and protect his people. No one else. And I need to be reminded of this because like the disciples, when the pressure comes, I'm so prone to tumbling away. You know, when the persecution steps up, and we haven't really experienced masses of that as Christians, but when the pressure comes, you know, even if you've ever been out on the streets with us and you've experienced just a few people saying, no, I don't want to hear a message about Jesus. Actually, what's the tendency? It's to, well, maybe it's time to go home. Because we don't like the pressure. We're not strong in ourselves. We tumble away. And that's because what are we doing? We're searching for the hero inside of ourselves. Actually, this is a message I need to be reminded. As I look at this Easter account, as we've just read it, as the disciples flee, as the disciples fall away, as he's betrayed, as Jesus stands alone at the cross, I'm reminded that Jesus alone is the Saviour. There is no other answer. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's not Jesus plus something else. It's Jesus who acted alone, who stood alone, who was crucified alone. That is the only answer to our world's problems, to our problems of sin. Second thing that I just want to point out from this little section is that Jesus was struck to save his sheep. Are you thinking to put the next one up for us? On Sunday he was rushing me through. Today he's just taking his time. Jesus was struck to save his sheep. That's what Jesus wants his disciples to know as he prepares them for what's about to happen. Look at verse 27. Jesus quotes from the Old Testament, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. As Jesus prepares his disciples for this event that's about to take place, this event that was ahead of the disciples, but we look back on the cross, he draws on this Old Testament quote hundreds of years before Jesus was written, but it's about him. I will strike the shepherd. That is a description of what is taking place at the cross. As Jesus alone heads to the cross, what is happening in that moment? Jesus is being struck as the shepherd. Jesus very clearly understood what was going to be taking place at the moment he was nailed to that cross. He understood, and it caused him terror. As we read, did you notice that as he goes to that garden, he's terrified? He's in anguish. His soul is totally chewed up. Now that gives you a sense, you know, here is a man who has nothing to fear because all power is at his fingertips. But here is a man whose soul is knotted up to its very being. And that gives you a sense of the dramaticness of what he's about to face. Why? Not just because of the physical suffering, although that's enough of a reason to cause us to fear, but because he was about to be struck by whom? By God. By God, his Father. You see, who is the I in that quote? I. It's the Lord speaking, God speaking. God the Father says, I will strike the shepherd. Literally, that word striking means to cut down, to kill, like to bear the sword. I will strike the shepherd, God says. And Jesus, he says, disciples, you've got to get this. You've got to get that what's about to happen as I go to the cross is that I will be struck by my Father in heaven. The long-standing plan of God is the very one who will shepherd the people, is the one who will be struck in place of the people. The Bible describes us like sheep. Now, you may not find that very flattering, but the Bible's pretty real about us. And another prophet, you see, puts it like this. It says, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. Now that is a description without exception of each of us in this room. That is a description of how God has how we have treated God, our creator. God is the shepherd. He kind of made us to oversee us, to love us, to care for us, to provide for us like a shepherd. And what have we done? We've wandered off to our own way. And actually the Bible says to us that wandering off is an offence that deserves striking from God. Now I know lots of us know that, but just pause on that for a minute. Being a sheep that wanders off and goes its own way and ignores the shepherd deserves a striking from God. We have turned our back on God our creator and wandered astray. And rather than follow our shepherds, we do our own thing. And I wonder, just this morning as we pause, maybe you feel that in some way today. Maybe you feel that you've wandered and just done things your own way rather than followed God, our shepherd, God, the one who leads us, who made us. And the reality is that we are the ones who deserve striking. As we remember what Jesus endured at the cross, not just physically, but in terms of God striking him, cutting him down. We've got to understand that's what we deserve. Each of us deserves striking, not for how we are in comparison to others. You know, when I talk to people about what we deserve or don't deserve out on the street sometimes, they say, oh, well, I'm not as bad as him. You know, surely I don't deserve that punishment of God. But actually, it's not about our comparison to one another. It's about what you've done with God as your creator. Have you been a sheep that's followed God the Creator, or have you been one that's wandered off your own way? And that's the question. It's not how you compare to others. It's what have you done with God, your Creator? But at the cross, Jesus the shepherd, and that's what he draws on this image. He was struck in place of sheep that have wandered away. That's what that quote's all about. He was struck in place of a shepherd. I'm no shepherding expert, although I do have 6 children, so I probably have some experience. But the shepherd stands in between the danger and the sheep. I do know that much. The Old Testament tells stories of like lions and bears coming towards the flock. And David, who was a shepherd, stood in between. He takes the danger. He stands in between. And at the cross, our Lord Jesus, the shepherd, was standing in the way of the danger that threatens the sheep, which is a striking from God. And Jesus the shepherd took that striking that we deserve for wandering away. Now, why did he do it? Why did Jesus do it? Well, here's where I want you to work really hard with me for a couple of minutes, okay? This quote from Zechariah should have reminded them of something much bigger. Because if we had time this morning, we could go back to Zechariah. And we'll discover in Zechariah 13 where these words come from, that God promises 2 things. Number one, he promises to open a fountain that cleanses people from sin and impurity. And he says in this Old Testament book, he says one day, you know, yes, you're like rebellious sheep. You've wandered away and your wandering has left you in stains of sin. Just mark after mark, that anger, that kind of thought about somebody else, that lust, that all that stuff, it leaves us stained. Stained sheep, dirty sheep, wandering around fields. And God says, I'm going to open a fountain that will cleanse you from the reason you deserve a striking. And then at the end of chapter 13, he says, and then I will gather these people together, this cleansed people, and I will make them my people. And they will say, you are my God. And I will say over them, you are my people. You see the thing? And then it, right in the middle of these two things. So as he opens the fountain, and as he promises to gather people together to be his God, or to be their God and to be his people, that what he's promising right in the middle is to make that happen, he will strike the shepherds. It's right at the heart of this. How is that fountain going to get open? How are you going to become one of God's people, restored to the relationship with your Creator that you were meant to have? It takes a shepherd to be struck. And as Jesus prepares his disciples, what he wants them to understand is this very truth, that he is the shepherd who will be struck to open a fountain to cleanse people from their sins, and to restore people to relationship with God. So he quotes, but he doesn't just quote to kind of say, oh, this sounds a bit like the Old Testament. He quotes because he says, this is what I want you to understand about the cross. The cross opens a fountain to cleanse you from sin, and the cross is the way you will be restored to be the people of God. And it happens as the shepherd is struck. And friends, Jesus wants his disciples and us to understand that at the cross, Jesus was deliberately being struck by God so that our sins could be washed away and that we might be restored to be his people. If you hung around church for any length of time, you'll know that we sing a song. And it goes like this: there is a fountain. And what's it filled with? Weirdly, it's filled with blood. Drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood wash all their guilty stains. And that is why the shepherd was struck. So that he could open this fountain that we could wash in and get rid of our sin and our guilty stains. That means we deserve to be struck by God. Isaiah the prophet, another prophet who I quoted earlier, said, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him, the shepherd, the iniquity of us all. Why? So that we could be forgiven. And I want to ask some of you this morning, will you, whether you're the youngest here, guys, you know, some of you are pretty young, you've only heard this kind of for a few years maybe, but will you guys let Jesus cleanse you from your sin? That's what we're remembering today, as he prepares disciples for the cross. And he prepares them and says, this is what's happening. This is what you've got to understand. Jesus acted alone because he alone could be our saviour. But Jesus is the one who was struck so that you won't have to be. Will you let him cleanse you this morning from your sin? And for those of us that are cleansed, as it were, this morning we've got reason to rejoice. You know, sometimes we're gripped with fear, if we've been Christians for a while, that the sins we keep committing are going to be ones that one day we'll be struck for. But on a day like this, we look at this table and we say, Jesus was struck in my place so that a fountain could be opened to me and I could be cleansed. And then the third thing I just want to show you is that Jesus rose to lead his sheep. Jesus rose to lead his sheep. So he alone is the shepherd. He was struck to save his sheep, to cleanse his sheep. But then he rose to lead his sheep. Look at verse 28. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Now, we might miss something of the nuance of that. One, because we're not shepherds. And two, because we do shepherding differently in this country. Shepherds go behind their flock in this country. They stand with a dog. They stand behind their sheep and they gather them in. But in the country that these guys were hanging around in, where does the shepherd go? He goes at the front, and the flock follows. That's how it works. And so when Jesus says, I will rise, I will come out of the grave, I will be struck, but then I will live again, actually what he's promising is to be the shepherd that then carries on leading them. It's a beautiful picture. Sheep don't just need saving, sheep need leading. I grew up in Sussex, and there were quite a number of sheep around in Sussex. And on one occasion, I remember going out with a mate. We used to go mountain biking, and I found a sheep stuck in a fence. And so me and my mate bravely, you know, as we were, we tried to pull this sheep out. A bit worried it was going to kick us or bite us or something, but we were trying to pull it out of this fence. And then we set it free, and off it trotted and did what they do. Now, but here's the really funny thing. When we went riding again a month later, guess what I found? I found a sheep with its head stuck in the fence again. And so me and my friend, we bravely tried to pull out the sheep, a bit of experience this time, and set it off. But here's the point I'm trying to make. If you save a sheep and just let it go, what does it do? Get stuck in the fence again. That's what sheep do. But what does a sheep need if it's not going to get stuck in the fence? It needs a leader. It needs someone who will love it and care for it and say, don't go near that fence. And who will keep it away from the danger. And here's the point that he wants the disciples to get about the cross. As we stare at this dramatic moment, as they're about to all be scattered and Jesus is about to be struck by God in their place, he says, please don't miss the fact that I'm going to rise again and I'm going to lead you as a shepherd. Jesus rises to become the shepherd who leads them, who protects them, and who loves them. You see, who is the us? Who does he promise to lead? It's weak sheep. It's people who are about to just abandon Jesus because the going gets tough. It's people who pretend they don't know Jesus because they're a bit embarrassed and that they might get into trouble. It's people who fail Jesus. That's who he says, and I'll go on ahead of you lot. It's a wonderful picture, isn't it, for us on Good Friday? Who does Jesus want to lead? People who abandoned him. People who weren't very good to him. And he leads them, and he loves them, and he died for them, and he says, I'm going to go on ahead of you. See, on Good Friday, I need to remember a couple of things. Number one, I'm not the shepherd. I'm just a weak sheep. And I need a shepherd. I need a leader. I need one who is struck in my place. And I need one who's alive, who lives to lead me. See, if the shepherd had just died to protect the sheep, we'd be like that sheep that just keeps going back to the fence and gets our head stuck. But he didn't stay dead. He lives, and therefore he leads us. I need one who goes ahead of me in life. You know, we're all here as sheep. We all know the troubles we face. But the promises of the Bible is that Jesus isn't abandoned us at the cross. But he was struck for us so that he might be raised to become the shepherd we need. If you fast forward a little bit to the Gospels, what you meet is a group of disciples, this group of disciples. And this group of disciples look quite different in the book of Acts. Rather than fleeing when the danger comes, they stand firm. As they go talking about Jesus and the opposition comes and people don't want to listen, what do? They stand firm. Now why? Because they have a shepherd who's arisen and has gone ahead of them. And they finally worked out that they are not the shepherd. Peter becomes a great man in terms of God's kingdom. Peter becomes a man who stands and who shepherds the flock. You know, he becomes one who kind of cares for people as an under-shepherd to Jesus. But why? Because he's worked out that he's a sheep, not the shepherd. He's finally got it. And friends, we need to say, well, we'll only be strong. We'll only be safe, we'll only be protected when we stop trying to be the shepherd and we work out that we're sheep. And that's what this table reminds us. So as Jesus headed to the cross, this is three things he wanted his disciples to know. Jesus alone could be our saviour. Jesus was struck to save his sheep. And Jesus rose to gather his sheep and to lead us as he takes us and leads us to heaven. Let's sing, shall we, of that great Jesus, that great Saviour, and then we'll spend some time together remembering the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus.